Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, final hour of power here on a Sunday morning or something like that. Jester just brought me good news. You're not just stuck watching the Grammys tonight.
No.
I mean, you can if you want. If you can watch, artists wear really funky outfits and, you know, you won't be able to understand what they're saying.
The lyrics.
You know, all that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the kids like these days. But the Royal Rumble is tonight.
Yes.
At Minute Maid Park in Houston. Hey, I think, what's the way I want to say this?
Uh-oh.
Maybe, maybe Roman Reigns could use a garbage can tonight to steal a spot at WrestleMania.
Too soon.
Perhaps he can bang a drum. Perhaps he can use a buzzer. Maybe.
Maybe.
So I guess you're not just stuck watching the Grammys. I guess I'll have that on while I'm, while I'm writing.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect choice. Also, this. Where was I going to go with this? Oh, Justin Verlander. Somehow, some way. Was, I guess he won an award. That's how it came up. But Justin Verlander was at the New York Baseball Writers Association of America dinner last night. I don't know why. Okay, because he got the AL Cy Young Award there. That's why. I couldn't figure out why it was in New York, you know, whatever. I don't know why they say that. It should be the baseball, whatever. Doesn't matter. So Jack Curry, who works for Yes Network, out of New York, Yankees, owned and controlled. It said, at New York Baseball Writers Association of America dinner, Verlander accepted AL Cy Young Award and noted how the Astros were, quote, technologically and analytically advanced, end quote, as a way to praise the organization. But that phrase caused some in the audience to guffaw. Whatever, that's like an old man word.
Yes, it is.
Verlander waited until the noise subsided before resuming his speech. Technologically and analytically advanced. What do you think about that? I mean, you talk about tone deaf. You talk about guts to stand there in front of a bunch of baseball writers. And I don't know if Rob Manfred was there, but the commissioner, I believe, usually attends that. I know one guy was there, Jerry Seinfeld. He was there. But usually Rob Manfred, or I know Bud Selig used to attend that. So I don't know if if Rob Manfred was there or not. I haven't seen that, but maybe he was. It doesn't much matter. But the bottom line is talk about tone deaf. Like, dude, your manager and your general manager just got fired. Your two former, well, one bench coach and one veteran teammate just got fired for managerial jobs. We're technologically and analytically advanced. I know everybody said the reason why the Astros won the 2017 World Series was because of analytics. That's all it was about. I mean, it had nothing to do with their talent actually performing and achieving and being really good. Like, they sucked for 3 years to get premium draft picks and supplemented those premium draft picks with nice players, right? I'm not saying that it was all because they sucked, but it, like, when you suck for a long time, if you have any clue as to what you're doing, you're going to get some good players.
Hence the Nationals.
Exactly, right? Now, it worked out better for the Astros, ultimately, than that crop of national suckage did. Strasburg obviously was in that, but Bryce Harper meaning specifically.
Right.
But my point is everybody said, well, it was analytics, because SI in 2014 predicted in 2017 that the Astros would win the World Series, and everybody laughed, and it turned out to be true, right? But everybody chalked it up to just this analytics age. Well, we've now come to find out that it's far from just analytics, right? That it's bang the drum slowly. Wasn't there a movie like that? A baseball movie, I believe, based on Lou Gehrig?
Oh, yes,
I believe
was.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they've been doing down in Houston at Minute Maid Park, so I wonder if Roman Reigns can find that tonight to get to WrestleMania. The road to WrestleMania kicks off tonight.
Begins tonight.
It ends in Houston. In Tampa. At Raymond James Stadium. It starts in Houston tonight. By the way, my buddy Lenny texted me when we were talking about the Grammys, and he said, you have no street cred. Is that true? Is that
Who accurate? Cares? You don't have street cred in the part of the street that you don't reside in, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, I have street cred. I can drive around and not get into an accident and get home. That's the street cred that I need.
This is going just full circle back to the loudmouth name-calling slightly known.
Exactly. We're tying everything back together again. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sort of get back on track here. I do have to get into the Redskins free agent rookie class because it was good. It was good. Really good. People are going to be pleased if you don't already know. Next on The Fan. One more note from that baseball dinner that I was talking about with Justin Verlander, and I put up that story, that tweet on Twitter in case you missed it. At WrestleMania 621. So this is according to Disha Thosar, who covers the New York Mets, I believe, for the New York Post. I could be wrong on that. Maybe it's the Daily News. I'm not sure. She tweeted, oh, my God, Pete Alonso, who, of course, hits a lot of home runs for the New York Mets, just asked the crowd at the BBWAA dinner if he's allowed to curse. So after getting approval, I guess, from the crowd, you know, like the all-knowing reporter nod, yes, you can curse, Pete. He said, holy bleep! Although she said the word. Seinfeld is here. And then she tagged it the polar bear. That's his nickname. Polar bear Pete Alonso keeps on giving. So I guess everybody was impressed that Seinfeld was there. I didn't know if that was that big of a deal at this point. Seinfeld is a lot of places. He goes to a lot of Mets games. But I guess he was hanging out. I guess he had nothing to do on a Saturday night. Went to the baseball writers' dinner.
And from what I hear, he drinks a lot of coffee in cars with comedians.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a TV show. Oh. Stay with me here, Chris.
Okay, I didn't know.
It's on Netflix, man.
I mean, there's 1,000 things on Netflix.
That's true. Good point.
I've, you know how many days I've watched Netflix in the last year?
You don't go through the trending list?
No.
No.
I've watched Netflix probably 3 times in the last year.
You write too much.
I do. I work too much, period. I agree. All right, so let's get to this. On ProFootballFocus.com, a lot of people don't like ProFootballFocus.com. I do. I use it regularly. I don't subscribe to every bit of information that they have. Here's my thing. A lot of Redskins media people types are very dismissive of it. I have no idea why. Because here's my thing. I can't grade the entire league. I have a hard enough time getting through the Redskins tape. It's that bad. It's that hard. It's that long. I don't have time. So I need a quantifiable measurement system, whether it's flawed or not, to help me. So I use Pro Football Focus. They do a unique service. I am very happy to support them. I pay for their product. It's a great product. They give me a ton of information that helps me. And I credit all the work to them. I'm not trying to steal it from them. I'm just happy to have it. I have to create a lot of content, both written and you know, on the radio and podcasts and all that. So I am more than happy to say, hey, you know what? According to Pro Football Focus, you don't have to agree. Here's what they're saying. So here's a perfect example of a you don't have to agree, but this is what they said. In conjunction with ESPN Plus, they ranked all 32 NFL draft classes from 2019. And what they basically outlined is, you know, you get more value, of course, from younger players because they're on rookie contracts. And they call it one of the biggest competitive edges NFL teams can create. And, of course, it's easier to do that when you have a wealth of picks and a lot of value from those picks. And then if you know what you're kind of doing, you get good players and young players and cheap and controllable players. And they said, if player X and player Y have similar seasons, the production from player Y taken in the sixth round is much more valuable than the production a team gets from first round pick player X, which makes sense, right? So ProFootballFocus.com has a wins above replacement metric that they've unveiled called PFF WAR. And they used it to rank all 32 teams on the value of their rookie draft class over the expectation that was given when each player was selected in the 2019 draft. So you're with me? Basically, think baseball WAR. I know it's a complicated analytic thing, but it's what they do. So as a result, because the Redskins rookie class performed better than any other rookie class in the Pro Football Focus wins above replacement metric, or PFF WAR, the Washington Redskins were the top rookie class in 2019. That's right. A team that won three games. Landfill would be firing them all except for Terry McLaurin, including the guy who helped pick them and the scouts that helped pick these players. But if you just want a couple of little tasty nuggets from the column, Dwayne Haskins, a 73.4 Pro Football Focus grade, cumulative, which was 12th among quarterbacks after he took over as the starting quarterback in week 9. Remember how bad he was early on and how good he was late. He got hurt a couple of times, which is a major, major, major concern that nobody's paying attention to, that I'll keep talking about and I'll be right on. Terry McLaurin, number 76 overall, third round. Remember, the Redskins didn't have a second-round pick because they had two firsts, Montez Sweat, who certainly came on as the season went along. McLaurin, at number 76 overall, had a 86.5 receiving grade, which led all rookie wide receivers in 2019, but it was also the highest mark since Odell Beckham Jr. in 2014. We know what kind of career he's had. Granted, pain in the ass, but we know what kind of career he's had. Then you throw in the contributions of Montez Sweat, a little bit from Wes Martin, certainly Cole Holcomb and Kelvin Harmon and Jimmy Moreland. And Moreland had an up and down year. Holcomb was pretty good, all things considered. Pretty good. And Harmon had some moments. Now, listen, I don't understand the whole complicated formula thing, but here's what you need to know. It's one thing for Kyle Smith and people in the building to think that they had a good rookie class and that they've had a couple of good drafts. It's another thing, and I've been telling you for 2 years, Dan Snyder was smitten with Kyle Smith. He was a little bit worried that Kyle wasn't a pushover. But they got it done, and he's the vice president of player personnel now. But Kyle Smith has been ramping up to be a GM. The Redskins were ramping him up. And it's because they've gotten great value later in drafts. Now, the problem with players later in drafts, a lot of them might have a real good cup of coffee at first and then flame out pretty quickly. So, you know, we have to see where Jimmy Moreland goes, where Kelvin Harmon goes, where Cole Holcomb goes. But at least the light's on there, right? Now, of course, the light was on for Trey Quinn, too. And Trey Quinn had a very disappointing year this year and then got hurt. So we can celebrate back end of the draft type picks, but we should realize that their success sometimes is fleeting. Sometimes it's not, i.e. Tom Brady. But what they're centering on is Terry McLaurin in the third round gave them first round value, if not top 15 value, maybe top 10 value. I assume Terry McLaurin's going to be that good again this year. I assume. I don't know, but I assume. And if you look at it from that perspective, then they had three first round picks on their roster contributing and getting better as the season went along, right? Because certainly Haskins and Montez Sweat got better and better and better. Number two on the list, Jacksonville Jaguars, where Jay Gruden goes. Got a young offensive line, a young tight end. How about Jay going from the best rookie class with a quarterback he didn't want to another rookie class? And who knows if he wants those quarterbacks. But they're the number two pick on Pro Football Focus and ESPN.com's plus, or ESPN Plus, I guess is the right way to say it. Wins above replacement metric, PFF WAR. Bam. Kansas City Chiefs, number three. Giants, number four. And New Orleans Saints, number five. So you see, it doesn't have anything to do with wins and losses for the big team. It has every... as it should. All right, let's take a timeout here at the bottom of the hour. 800-636-1067. We'll get to Chris in Hyattsville next on The Fan. We'll have Super Bowl 54, of course, for you right here on The Fan. Next Sunday evening, late next Sunday afternoon, I guess, is when the pregame show would start via Westwood One. I think we'll have a Capitals game before that, I believe. I could be wrong on that. Oh, I just saw somebody pop into the studio. How about this? Here, let me clean up on your account. It is Mr. Eli Manning himself. Whew. The champion of the Eli Manning Club, Chris Miles. With
Eli
us.
Manning, Derek Jeter, Hall of Famers.
I mean, Derek Jeter, definitely a Hall of Famer, as we found out officially this week. I mean, Eli Manning he's going to definitely get in because that's just the way these things work. He did not have a Hall of Fame regular season career. He had two epic runs and authored two incredible parts of NFL history, and he was a Manning and he played quarterback in New York. He should get in. He will get in. There's no doubt he'll get in. I shouldn't say he will get in. I don't know if he should get in based on his regular season.
You're looking at numbers. Say the name Eli Manning,
yeah,
do people know who he is?
Of course.
What's the name of it? The Hall of what?
The Hall of Fame.
And who tweeted him as his career ends? Tom Brady, like the most famous guy.
Oh yeah.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You guys can.
But there's a lot of.
You can look at all these numbers all you want. I get it. It's not
Miles. There's a lot of famous. There's a lot of famous names out there. There's a lot of famous people out there with names.
Infamous.
They're not getting into infamous.
There's a difference between famous and infamous.
Okay, but they're not getting into the Hall of Fame.
But Eli Manning is.
I mean, Jim McMahon at one point had one of the most famous names in professional football.
He wore
Jim
McMahon's a visor.
Right. He's not getting into the Hall of Fame.
Because he didn't win two Super Bowls.
Okay.
He didn't have more fourth quarter comebacks in two postseasons than Peyton Manning had in his entire career.
I'm not crapping on Eli Manning. I spent a lot of time talking about Eli earlier this year, or earlier this week and this morning.
Hall of Famer.
See, when you were still sleeping.
I was listening to you.
Oh, were you? Okay. Because you're a new daddy, so you're up early. See, I was trying to pay homage to you.
I was playing basketball.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. That's why you got that big old smile on your face. You're
that's
healthy.
Right. I was getting
you're
buckets.
Happy. Getting buckets. Making it rain.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's Kawhi Leonard.
That's a different court.
A different stage, right?
That's Kawhi Leonard. He's making it rain.
So, all right. I knew you were going to say that Eli for sure is a Hall of Famer.
Of course.
If I said to you that I fully believe Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer, but if I had a vote, I would have to be pressed into voting for him.
I would convince you.
Is that unfair?
It's not, because here's what I'm saying to you. If you look at his career and you think of moments, his moments are in the postseason and in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he won two.
Two of the biggest moments in NFL history.
This is what I'm saying. That alone, and the numbers are good enough.
Yeah.
Like, I heard Screamin' A. Smith go on the radio. He had a 500 regular season record. And he was,
you do a pretty
he missed
good Stephen
the playoffs
a.
all the time.
You do a pretty good Stephen A. Smith slash Screamin' A. Smith.
I'm going to tell
I
you
like
what. If Eli Manning was the quarterback for Washington, Eli Manning had more success for the Giants in two runs to the Super Bowl than the Redskins have had since 1991.
Well, the Redskins haven't had any
success.
This
is my point. This is my point. He's had more postseason wins in his career than the Redskins since their last Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. Just like Terry McLaurin's a very good wide receiver. If you can't see that, like, you know me. You know me. I'm a Giants fan.
I know you.
And I went on. It was like Paul Richardson, whatever, dude, whatever. You see me now? Terry McLaurin is the deal. Terry McLaurin's that guy.
You always bring up my faith in Paul Richardson.
Because it was ridiculous.
It's not his fault that it's not my fault that he can't stay healthy, that he can't.
Yeah, it was factored into the equation.
That he can't run a route without pulling a hamstring.
It was factored into the equation when you were telling me that he was going to be the difference maker on his team. I was like, he's going to have to be somebody else.
But I kept also saying that if he can stay healthy. If he can stay up, which he never did. He never has
been. It's the caveat of all caveats. Like, if you know a guy, for instance, like if Derrick Rose would have been healthy his whole career.
Well, let me ask you, that's fair. I mean, but some guys do get hurt a lot early on, and then Bradley Beal is a perfect example. Now, he's been a little bit banged up here last couple of weeks.
Because he's playing 36 minutes.
But Bradley Beal is a perfect example. When they gave him that first contract, everybody was like, oh, my God, what are they doing? Like, this guy, he misses 30 games a year.
I also got to give Brad credit for working on his body.
Yeah.
Go look at his body, his rookie, second, third year,
mm-hmm.
and look at it now. He looks like a bodybuilder. I got to give Brad credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conscious effort.
But sometimes getting tighter is not always the best thing, right? Because joints and your
He's leaner.
Okay.
He's leaner and more cut down than he was. Go look at him from his rookie year. Go look at him in his days in Florida. It's crazy. You never really
You know
see
who's
that.
Not lean and who's not cut?
Zion.
Me.
Oh, I thought you were saying Zion Williamson.
No, I mean, Zion's big, but he's pretty cut, right? I mean, I wouldn't say he's lean.
He was before moving to New Orleans.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of them. I mean, I've seen some highlights, but I wasn't studying his pectorals.
I would say he went from looking like a defensive lineman, linebacker, to almost an offensive lineman.
Really? Okay.
285 pounds.
Yeah, he was 280 pounds when he got drafted, wasn't
Allegedly.
He? Supposedly. I mean, here's the problem. You go down to New Orleans, everything's basted in butter.
I gained 50 pounds, dude.
Did you?
When I lived there,
it's so hard, man.
You know why? There's that in the beverages Think about it. You walk around with the adult beverages, and it's acceptable to drink at 10 a.m.
I know.
If you had a friend here that was like, it's 10 a.m., I'm going to have some whiskey. Like, this guy's insane.
Right.
In New Orleans,
that's
normal
fare.
You go somewhere and people are like, you're not drinking?
Yeah.
It's 10 a.m., dude.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
I mean, I will say this. I've only been to New Orleans once, and it was for 24 hours, right? It was way too short. I've got to get back. But you know this because you spent time down there. I went to Pat O'Brien's.
Yeah.
Not the former broadcaster.
I know.
But Pat O'Brien's, right? And I got a hurricane.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Diabetes in a cup.
Right. Okay. Well, this was 9 years ago. Just saying. I got a hurricane. And I got to say, I never really get those fruity drinks because I don't like sugar. That was a strong-ass drink. And I got probably two of them that night and other drinks. But I couldn't believe how strong their fruity drinks were in New Orleans at Pat O'Brien's. I mean, it was a punch.
You know why that is?
Why?
Bars have to compete. So if you go like during NFL games on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
so when the Saints were off,
they're trying to load you up.
You go to Bourbon Street, not on a Friday, Saturday night, but like Sunday at 1,
mm-hmm.
and you'll say, oh, I want premium. I want like Grey Goose and soda.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh, 3-for-1 special, $6. That same three shots in it would cost you $60 here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
$7, and you watch football.
Because they want to load you up because...
I have no idea why.
It's a little...
You try to come up with an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Interesting. You've spent a lot of time in New Orleans, so I'll take your advice for it. Take your advice. All right, Chris Miles is coming up at noon, but we have one more segment to go, and I promise we'll get to Chris in Hyattsville if he wants to hang in there. So, Chris, you'll be next on The Fan. I mean, Brandon Scherff was, like, voted to, like, an alternate role or whatever it was, or a backup role, but he's not going to play. According to the CBA, this is through Adam Schefter, each player on today's winning Pro Bowl team receives a $70,000 paycheck. How about that? Each player on the losing team doesn't lose. They get a $35,000 bonus. Plus, you get to have your family and your kids wined and dined by the NFL in Orlando. Life's not too bad as an NFL player, you know? I mean, we always make it seem like they have it so hard. Really don't have it that hard. You know, really don't have it that hard. Pretty good if you can win a Pro Bowl, which means nothing. You get $70,000. Some people don't make $70,000 in a year. Just saying. You could do it in 3 hours. Not bad. All right, let's get to Chris Miles, by the way, coming up at noon. We just checked in with him. He'll take you through up until the Pro Bowl, which we have here on The Fan. So away you go with that. Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Don't sound so robotic. What's going on? What's wrong? Chris is underwater.
No, hold on one sec.
Hello? Chris.
Chris. Hey. Todd. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry about that. So a couple things really quick. Number one, if Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, Eli Manning belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, and the other guy is right. It is the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Best Statistical Leaders.
But it's based on player performance on the field, not famous names.
But Joe Namath disproves that point. There are many guys in the league.
If Eli Manning authored two of the greatest moments in NFL history, what the hell did Joe Namath do?
He won the most important Super Bowl in history, probably,
right,
that legitimized the AFL.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why he's in, not because of statistics.
And that's why Eli Manning will be in.
Absolutely, which I've been saying all along. I'm just saying I would have to be hard-pressed into voting for him because I look at it beyond
fame. Well, then you would be an idiot because he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
How am I an idiot? He won two Super Bowls, two great Super Bowls. His regular season is, it's okay. It's fine.
What's the game about, though? It's about winning the Super Bowl. That's what the whole Chris, the beginning of each season. But that's what every team is supposed to be about.
Chris, in today's modern era where we have more information, more numbers, more analytics, more scrutiny, more video, more everything, it shouldn't be about two games or one game or anything like that. I guarantee you, if Joe Namath did what he did today, he probably wouldn't get in.
You're acting like Eli Manning was some chump. He had pretty good statistics.
They were fine.
Okay. All right. Next point. Bill Callahan should get a lot of credit for how the Redskins rookie class performed this year, because if Jay Gruden had been the coach throughout the entire season, I guarantee you they don't have the same performance numbers, because Callahan focused on giving those guys opportunity to play and fundamentals, and I think they benefited from a lot.
I think what you just said there is fundamentals was Callahan's greatest impact, and getting this team to be serious and professional and hardworking, because clearly – I said this a million times. Nobody will ever give me any acknowledgement for this. Callahan was so tired of the circus here last year. He wanted to leave for Cincinnati, and Bruce Allen wouldn't let him. So when they fired Jay, I said all along Callahan was going to be the guy. I think that was part of like what Bruce did to kind of reassure him. And Callahan himself said, bottom line, and I like Jay, but how much I've complained about Jay and how loose and lax things were. Callahan said the last week, he said, I'm proud of one thing. We got this team to play hard for four quarters and for all these weeks, basically summarizing what he said. And he said,
I agree.
They were not doing that before.
You're right about it. Yeah. I know you suffer from lack of praise and acknowledgement, and you have some issues. So I'm going to give you have been saying that all along.
Thanks,
and I'm going to give you credit for it.
No, Chris, you've been saying that all along. You deserve the praise and the credit, Chris.
Well, yeah. But I know I'm right. So,
right.
Last thing, the Justin Verlander thing, right? Everybody jumps over, to bend over backwards to give praise and credit to the Astros up until the most recent issues, but still about how, brilliant they are and how analytical they are, and they tanked, and that's why they won the World Series. They just stole the same plan that the Nationals had. In four consecutive drafts, the Nationals drafted Steven Strasburg, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, and Lucas Giolito. Okay. Those are all four superstars in the league right now. And, Giolito doesn't play for the Nationals, but the Nationals don't get enough credit for how great they are at not screwing up the first round and hitting the home run in the first round and building teams with their own players from within. The core of the Nationals has been their own draft prospects. And Mike Rizzo doesn't get, before him, Stan Kasten and the Learners don't get enough credit for that.
It's a more than good point. You always make good points, Chris. How about that? I don't always agree with them.
Is it Valentine's Day? Why are you so lovey-dovey this week?
Chris, I want to make you feel good about yourself, because
all right.
You said I need to feel good.
By the way, I want to give you I know you get the ground beef like Google alert, there's been some recalled ground beef throughout the Midwest, and I want you to be careful about that, okay?
All right, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to go check that out. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right. Let's get one last one in here. Steve in Houston on the fan. Hey, Steve-O, how are you?
What's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
How about yourself?
How you been?
Hey, man. Hey, been real good. Real good, man. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
You know what? Just real quick, I was going to ask you about the Chase Young and the draft thing and the trade rumors that's heating up now. But let me ask you this. When Jay got fired, was that a Bruce Allen decision, Dan Snyder, or a collective? Do you actually know or have some insight on that?
When Jay got fired?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't – like, nobody specifically told me exactly how it went down, but, I mean, Dan and Bruce had been itching to fire Jay for a while. So, I mean, like, they were so down on, so many of the things that had happened and the fact that they couldn't finish strong And the fact that they couldn't even get to 500 when they had chances the last 2 years, obviously couldn't make the playoffs. But a lot of it was personality. They hated the fact that he enjoyed talking to the media, both on and off the record. Hated it. It drove them crazy. And they blamed him for certain leaks. They blamed him for the Dwayne Haskins leak.
Which Dwayne Haskins leak?
Where that Dan made the pick as opposed to Jay.
Okay.
Yeah, they blamed him for that. Which, okay. he was right. He was right. But they blamed him for that. So it was building. I mean, everyone knew if they got off to a bad start, you know, obviously that Jay was gone. I think everyone knew that. But it was more than just about an 0-5 start. Those two guys, you know, Bruce more than Dan, I think. But those two guys in general are, you know, they seek revenge. And, you know, like in the mafia, people seek revenge by murdering people. In football, you seek revenge by cutting people out and ending their careers. See Mike Shanahan.
Got you. Okay. Well, that's the past. Hey, Jay is gone. We're on the big and better.
Yeah.
Let me get your thoughts or your opinion on this whole Chase Young thing. Now, you know, we're talking about it early now, but you know, with the draft, I think the draft is about what, 3 months away?
Yeah. No, well, April 22nd through 24th in Vegas. Yeah.
April 22nd. Yeah. So you know, if Tua comes out, lights it up, good Lord, you know, it's about to get busy. You know, in terms of speculation of what the Dolphins want to do, if they're really locked in on him. You know what? I'm not okay. Chase Young is a really, really, really great guy. I mean, really great player, right? Now, I think a lot of people throw around the generational talent very loosely. I think Chase Young is really damn good. Generational talent, I'm not too sure about that. And actually, I think the Bosa brothers, Joe and Nick, were more polished DNs coming out of Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
But by far, Chase Young is the better athlete.
Yes. I would agree with all of that. I would agree.
Right.
It's a perfect assessment. Based on what I've seen so far. But you know athletes,
right,
if they're open to coaching and if they show that they can get better, and that will be the thing for Chase Young, then he can if he can stay healthy and if he's open to coaching and they have a good coach, and you know, I think they'll be pretty good here with Del Rio, Rivera, and the other assistant coaches, assuming he comes here, then he's got a chance. But before we crown anybody's ass, let them play and prove themselves first. Steve, I got to let you run, man. As always, I appreciate hearing your call. I'm way late. Sorry, I kind of forgot about the clock. My bad. I was looking at you guys a little like, wait a second, why are they looking at me? Oh, yeah, because I got to shut up and I got to leave. Chris Miles coming up next, then the Pro Bowl. Adios on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.